demanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Bruschetta. Welcome to March 7th.
Good morning.
We're back here live, as always.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I forgot to pay rent this morning already. I'm like, it's March 7th. Shit. Totally forgot. I hate
That's something good to forget.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I hate that part of the month.
Do you?
I love the beginning of a month because it's like a new, fresh start. But then I hate it because I'm like, rent.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Well, you know, we all have to go through the same thing. So what are we going to do?
I know.
You know?
I know.
So how's it going this morning?
It's good.
Yeah, do you like the winds? Do you like the strong winds?
You know what? I don't mind the strong winds. As long as it's not raining, I'm happy.
Really?
I hate the rain. You know this. I hate
the
rain.
Yeah, I do know. But I would think you'd hate the winds more. You know?
No.
I mean, it's destructive.
Why?
I'm
running through
like...
the wind. My hair's blowing. It's kind of hot. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Why not?
Okay.
But at least I can run outside as opposed to you loving the rain when I can never run outside.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, it was like gloomy, bloomy. Like I hated it.
Right.
I was like, I'm not doing anything today. I'm going to lock myself in my room and do nothing.
Really? So it got you in a terrible, not a terrible mood, but not as good a mood.
Well, I was in like work mode yesterday anyway, so I wound up just working a ton, like literally till 11 o'clock last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, I wanted to run outside. I wanted to enjoy my day.
Mm.
Need to start like, you know, getting in shape.
So did you run this morning?
I didn't.
Okay.
I'm going to go after.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like wearing my little running gear.
Sounds
good. I'm going to go hiking and running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So you getting ready for the marathon and everything?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's coming up. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I haven't been running as much as I should.
Okay.
I was going every day, and then last week just kind of set me off a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm
well,
really excited. You should, you know what? You should get your butt up.
Yeah.
And you should race.
Really?
That's what I think.
Do you think I'd get farther than 10 yards or something? Do you really think so?
Yeah. You could walk.
So. I'm really not in shape. I need to get back in the gym. I really do. And I keep saying that, but I need to.
Yeah.
Me too. And once I do, maybe I'll try another marathon.
Why not? See, this is what I do.
I just don't enjoy running, and I know you do.
I like it, but I also,
different.
I'll sign up, and then it's like, oh, no, I have to do it. Now I have to compete against myself.
Exactly.
Like, I have to go running every
day. And I like that you focused like that on your goals and stuff. You know, you just don't, quit in the middle or something.
No.
You set your mind to it, and you do it.
Yeah, because I compete against myself. For everything I do, it's like, I'm bipolar in ways. It's like, one brain is fighting with the other side. Like, I have to beat this. Yeah, I know, I'm retarded. But we already know that.
Awesome. So listen, we have you arranged for some special guests to come in the studio this morning, and why don't you go ahead and introduce them to us, and or maybe the organization first.
Sure. Well, as everyone knows, I've been talking about how I'm racing in the 5K that's coming up in 2 weeks. Jeez, 2 weeks. and it's for the Children's Alliance, and I've been telling everyone about it, but I brought them in here today so they can tell us more about it, and you guys can donate. How about that?
Sounds good. Well, welcome to the studio. We have Marlene, we have Jessica, and also Chris off the mic, but we'll hear from him in a little bit. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thanks for having us, and the Alliance for Children's Rights is so... grateful for allowing us to spread the word about our work and our effort to raise funds through the LA Marathon and the 5K on March 17th and 18th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's coming up, what, next week or something? Or about 10 days?
Yeah, not this weekend, next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, so Marlene, what is your position with the organization?
I'm the Director of Development at the Alliance for Children's Rights.
Okay, and what does that mean? What do you do?
That means I try to I raise money for, along with a lot of other people and our generous supporters, to make sure that these programs that we have to help our kids that are impoverished and abused and neglected, our children and our youth,
right,
to have programs and free legal service for to give them a voice.
Right.
We envision at the Alliance for Children's Rights a world in which all children have safe, permanent families and get the support and services they need to thrive.
Right.
And it takes money to do that.
Yeah.
And we do that through generous funds, through foundations and private donations. We get no government funding. Also, we rely on volunteers, pro bono attorneys, to help us advocate for our children.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And how did you get connected with the organization? How long have you been with them now?
I've been with the organization almost 4 years.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how did you connect with them?
Well, I started as a consultant for one of our board of directors on a tennis event called Tennis for Tots. And I ended up becoming a volunteer,
uh-huh,
and Tennis for Tots is a fundraising event for the Alliance.
That sounds fun.
And then
yeah,
4 or 5 years later, I became the director of development. Before that, I was a mentor, I was a volunteer, I raised money for them on my own, and then a position opened up, and I...
Wow, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it was.
So have you always been into this kind of thing, like helping out and raising funds and things like that?
Yes. yes, I love to help the underserved, and you know, it's I'm very motivated by making a difference.
Mm-hmm. It feels
and
good.
And fundraising is kind of a thing, just like Bridgetta. You're a natural.
Aww.
At raising money, and I appreciate you raising
you
money for the LA Marathon. And you did this through Crowdwise. That's mm-hmm. how we're raising money. So you can support Bridgetta, and you can support Jessica Chandler, who you're going to be meeting today,
right,
and Team Alliance on Crowdwise. Mm-hmm. It's Crowdwise is CrowdRise.com.
Right. Yeah.
/ Bridgetta.
Okay. Exactly.
Jessica. And Jessica.
And I'm proud to say I donated.
He did.
You
yeah.
did.
Well,
thank
did.
You so much. Much. And you don't have to donate just once. You can donate.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
You're like, I'll
keep
right
donating.
Yeah, we have a big goal of $100,000, and we need everybody's support, $10 and $100, $500, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But it really makes a difference.
That's
and it's
amazing.
Really great for the LA Marathon that they allow the charities to benefit mm-hmm. through this run and through this 5K and marathon. We're still looking for runners for a 5K and marathon runners to help.
See,
you know, to,
Sam?
Yeah,
yes.
We're still looking for runners.
You
so,
can do it still.
To
there's
raise
a lot
money.
Of runners out there.
There are.
Yeah,
and
just
it's
fine.
Easy. And you know what? I'm finding my children and I are running. It's called, you know, Team McGirt. And uh-huh. It helps you cross the finish line. It motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
just not about you. It's about these kids and
right.
who the Alliance for Children's Rights
right.
are helping. And it really makes a big difference.
I agree.
Mean, those $10 to mm-hmm. however, whatever your capacity is really appreciated.
Right. Yep. Now, when was the organization founded? Has this been around for a while?
Well, funny you should say that. We are celebrating our 20th anniversary.
Yay!
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And we've opened our doors in 1992.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And 20
yeah.
years. And it started as this little organization. And today, we have reached over 100,000 children and youth.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
Incredible.
To have safe homes, health care, and equitable education so they can thrive.
Right.
These are kids. This is the most vulnerable population that we are working with.
Right.
We are giving them a voice.
Yeah.
And we can't do it alone.
Right.
And it's great that it's right here in the U.S. too.
It's in United,
you know,
right in the U.S. And we work with kids in L.A. County.
Mm. I think that's great.
And we are also, because of our position in our view of the system, we're also affecting systemic change.
Mm.
So we're supporting policy. And
mm-hmm.
just recently, last year, we co-sponsored a bill called the AB 12 bill. Mm. And that helps us extend benefits for kids transitioning out of the foster care system
right.
from 18 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
We are very excited.
Yeah.
So
well, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I think that's great. I mean, I really love that it's right here in LA, in our own backyard, in the U.S., as opposed to... I mean, I love giving and helping people in other countries, don't get me wrong, but we have so much right here in our country, and
right.
it just irks me so much how it's like the U.S. is always like, we're going to help them. We're going to help these people. But we have so many issues right here in our own backyard, and I
right.
think that it's great that, you know, you guys are doing that.
Yeah.
Right, so last year, we served over 7,000 children and youth.
Wow.
Yeah, we are making a difference. And
awesome.
Like I said, we can't do it alone.
Right. Now, who are some of the kids that you guys help? I mean, are these kids that don't have families?
Yeah, these are kids that their parents were unable to to take care of them.
Oh, okay.
So these children are being taken care of by their relatives, mostly grandmothers, mm-hmm. or through foster care.
Right.
And through foster care, many of these kids get adopted, but not all of them do.
Mm.
So they're on their own.
Right.
And that's where the Alliance.
And all different ages too, I would imagine.
From infants to 18.
Wow.
Yes, yeah. And so we do have one of our clients who yes. really is no longer a client. She's like thriving, and she's a true success story.
Right.
And we were part of her story.
Mm.
But,
that's awesome.
But she also has that spirit to really succeed, and that's Jessica.
And that's Jessica. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Hi.
So you're calling her a client. I mean, it's not really a client. I mean, she's part of the team, right?
She's the team.
But it's not really a client that comes in and pays and everything. And,
oh, no, I don't have any money.
Yeah.
But it is a client because that's what they're here for. They're here to help them. So, yeah, it is a client.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If you
want. Yeah, it sounds so clinical.
It does. Thing,
but it's
it does.
Not. She's one of the kids that we advocated for and helped. And we're there for her to support her whenever she needed help.
Right.
And she's going to tell her story a little bit. And,
yeah.
In short term,
but
Sam.
All
that in one word, client.
Okay.
But she's also she's always there for us whenever we need her. And so she's one of our supporters now.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
We're very grateful for her.
Okay. So, Jessica, were you originally born here in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay.
Inglewood, California.
In Inglewood. And when did you find out about the organization?
So something Marlene didn't mention is that even though they target 0 to 18, they have a youth council and a Next Step program. So I actually didn't meet them until I was 18, and I finally landed a spot in a transitional housing bed.
Yeah.
So I emancipated. I was never adopted because I was kind of older when I entered the foster care system.
Right. Now, so did you grow up here with the family in the beginning or...
Yes,
you did. You had your mom and taking care of you. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, five.
Really?
Wow. I'm a middle child.
Really?
Wow. It's cool.
And was your father around too?
Yeah, they got divorced when I was 8.
Oh, okay. So you knew what it's like to have a father and everything in the home and, yeah.
50-50.
Really? So he was like an absent dad? Would you say that?
I don't remember.
You don't
I think
remember
I kind of
much.
Blocked him out a little bit. So.
I would imagine, yeah. So until you were 8, and then what, he left or something?
So when they got divorced, my mom never worked because she took care of all 6 of us. Kind of expensive to pay for that much child care.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just remember we all had to like move into a very small one-bedroom, all 7 of us. And you know, she had to start getting on cash aid and receiving welfare, and we just... became really, really poor.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it's hard to live like that, especially as a kid. I mean, you see other kids maybe that have more than you, and then you wonder, you know, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah. I never had a new pair of shoes probably until, like, high school. My mom went through a program called Welfare to Work, and she ended up getting a job. Mm. But before that, I only had, like, hand-me-down shoes. And I remember, like, having cardboard in the bottom of my shoes, but... She was doing her best at that time, and she actually was diagnosed with cancer like right during the divorce. So she ended up having to get her breast amputated and like going through chemotherapy.
Wow.
So
everything happened all at once for her.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Wow. So you have a very strong mother, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys moved to a small place, and I mean, how did you manage 7 souls in 1-bedroom apartment?
Like I said, she got some assistance, but it was really hard. She eventually, I think it was too much going on at the time, and I remember like her, I think she snapped for a while.
Mm-hmm. I would have too. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. A divorce, you know, have 6 kids with you, no financial means or anything. Yeah.
And we weren't very nice about it because we kind of blamed her, you know, because you're the reason why daddy left.
You know, you guys don't know. You're kids. Yeah.
Right. So we weren't very nice, which kind of, I think, made it harder on her to keep going and to keep fighting to help, you know, children, 6 children who possibly hated her. You
right.
Know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So so you grew up in that home now. So what happened next? I mean, at what age did you leave your home?
So this is what's interesting. Me and my two older siblings actually entered the foster care system first by breaking the law. I remember my sister, she was caught stealing underwear and bras for us. I was caught stealing like 2 packs of eggs and a pack of bacon from Ralph.
Yeah.
And the issue was that no one came to claim us. And
right.
No one picked us up from the station, so they couldn't release a minor to themselves. And mm-hmm. eventually it was considered child abandonment, and we became ward of the court.
Really?
Wow.
And so what was your mom doing during all this time? She had, like you said, she had a breakdown or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she... Back then, she was had like undiagnosed mental illnesses that may have been a result of her own childhood and just all the stressors at once. And I know it might have been like, and this is something I had to recently accept. It might have actually saved her in a way to be able to get rid of, or you know, turn away from some of us once we entered the system, because
right. The
less stressor just seemed like she began to get better with the younger three, and then with the younger two, as
right.
she had less. Triggers and less arguments and
yeah,
so. Well, and less mouths to feed.
Yeah, so, financial stress.
And I mean, and you guys shoplifted because you needed the stuff. I mean, it was food. It's not like toys or anything.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought it was bad, you know. But at the same time, like I was praised highly by my younger siblings for providing, like you know, I knew how to make French fries out of potatoes, and I knew how to, you know, we could cook very young, and it was very important and. It was almost, I was a star whenever I could bring home food or whenever my sister had underwear for us or
right.
things like that.
Yeah. And how old were you at the time when you got caught?
I was 12 when I first got
12.
Caught.
12. Wow.
Caught and
initiated. And doing it is two different things, right?
Yeah.
So, but eventually you get caught, you know.
Right.
So they took you to probably to the...
Juvenile hall.
Wow.
And nobody claimed you? I mean, they... But, I mean, you could have said, I live, you know, at this address and I have my mom there. Didn't that happen?
Yeah, but what happens is because I did break the law, they were able to punish me with placement, which is like a lockdown facility for 6 months. And then no one showed up to court.
For 6 months?
Yeah, that's like the
general.
That's like the general. Well, I think more than that, like they couldn't release a minor to themselves. And what do you do? This is a delinquent case versus neglect, because no one ever went into the home. When my older sister got in trouble, no one opened the fridge. When my second sister got in trouble, no one ever came into our home.
Mm-hmm.
And even with me, because it wasn't, you know, someone calling. Oh, these kids look, you know, like they're starving or something. And we actually got caught on the other end, you know, making things happen.
Right.
Then it was just easier for us to pass through the system. Like we're considered probation foster youth, right?
Mm.
Because we enter through the juvenile justice system.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think that they just kept me in there. It was just easy to get lost like that. There's so many, LA County's like overwhelmed with foster youth. Like we have more than anywhere else in the nation.
Yeah,
LA County
looking
has
at this,
the highest concentration of foster youth.
Wow.
Yeah,
right.
More
so
than
I
a quarter
lost.
Of all children in LA live in poverty. That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like a protective thing too, right? I mean, not to release the kid out there without a family and stuff. So that's why they keep you in there for a while.
And that's why they end up taking, that's how I became a ward of the court, because eventually they take responsibility of you. So whether it was you came in this way or someone called on your parent, you know, which would be like the DCFS way, you know, someone reports child neglect. But either way it goes, if no one claims the child, it's considered child abandonment.
Right.
Right.
And the Alliance for Children's Rights now is focusing on a program called School to Pipeline to Prison. This is what Jessica went through. You know, and kids 14 and up, when there's an infraction in school, you know, most kids, if you have a parent, you know, they'll come and advocate for you and say, well, we'll take care of Johnny and we'll bring him home and we'll give him consequences and we will take care of him.
That was
well,
me.
Kids, I hear you. I understand that. And somebody like Jessica, you know, there's nobody really supporting her or giving her a voice or, so, you know, really protecting her, her interests. So, you know, those things that what happened to Jessica, typically they wouldn't become wards of the court.
Right.
She did. And then what it becomes a school to pipeline to prison.
Right.
She became a statistic.
Right.
And so the Alliance is now focusing on and trying to educate the powers that be about foster kids and what their plight is, really. So we're, once again, this is one of our newest programs that we become a voice to these children.
I see. Amazing.
Really cool.
So Jessica, going back to your situation, so you entered the system And what happened then? So were you like in juvenile hall for like 6 months?
Yeah, so I was in juvenile hall, then I served mm-hmm. the time and I went to placement. Basically, so I was in placement for 6 months.
Were you with your sister at the time or no? You
no.
separated.
So the cool part is that we find each other like at 16 wow. and 14. So wow. we'll get there. So eventually they released me back to placement when I went to court, because placement is like suitable housing. There are staff members that work there. There's mm-hmm. three meals. And they kept sending me there. I think I ran away at probably like 15. Mm. Got caught when I registered for school because I wanted to go back to school and went back. And to run away for a probation youth is actually breaking the law.
Really?
So they were able to yeah. give wow. me 6 months punishment. It's called AWOL.
Yeah.
Right. But if a foster youth runs away from home, uh-huh. from their foster home or whatever, then they just kind of go to another home.
I see.
And are you okay. allowed to go to school during this time, so or do they educate you during
so
this time?
So it's horrible because you go to non-public school, because you go to school where you live. Mm-hmm. And once you go to non-public school, you kind of have to go to non-public school forever.
So it's like homeschool, basically.
Yeah, I guess. But there's like, yeah, different teachers and we have different classes and everything.
Right. So. And so at what age did you... okay, so you ran away from where?
The first placement is shut down now. It was called Florence Christian Center in Pasadena.
Okay, so what was it? Like a center that takes care of kids?
Yeah, it was a 40-bed lockdown placement, like when they lock you in the
right.
classroom.
So you're
lock you
locked in a classroom? Wow. Or you locked in, like, when you go to sleep, were you locked in a room by yourself or with a bunch of people?
Well, you'd have a roommate most okay. of the time, hopefully, not crazy. Right. And, you know, it's just... because you're on punishment, some of those people have broken the law,
right.
you know, greatly. So it's punishment, you
yeah.
know, like you're monitored. There's cameras everywhere you walk.
And, yeah, I can't imagine. Know. Yeah, it's not easy to live like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you ran away from there and then they caught you and brought you back?
Yes.
Yeah. And then so what's the next step now? What happened next after that?
So towards the end of that, I want to say like just. Those like 5 years passed and I ended up turning 17, mm-hmm. and I remember I had a really good attorney called Big Mike, and he had got my case dismissed because it didn't make sense, I guess. And they tried to release me back to my mom, but she didn't want to really have the response, because so I had, you know, they were gonna close the case, so
right.
you can't stay here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it didn't work out because she needed like some kind of way to control me and. Do placement, and I was 17, so I was kind of like, you know,
yeah.
I'll be 18 soon, you know, I'll
yeah.
be good and all this stuff.
It's like you know everything now, and you
mm-hmm.
can take care of yourself, and mom
right.
doesn't know anything.
And
blah,
I just
want
to go,
yeah.
right, and she doesn't know if I'm still the bad 8-year-old that used to call her bad names, and said
wow.
I hate her because
yeah.
of that and all that. Because, and like I said, she's struggling with her own issues. So I ended up being able to stay probation because I pled guilty to like all kind of things, and I turned, so this is what's great. So I got released in February back to my mom, and then in May I turned 18 and I was homeless.
Mm.
So, but oh, since wow. I was still legally aware of the court, because I guess they gave me like a probationary transfer period with my mom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was able to look for transitional housing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But since June had it came and I hadn't graduated from high school yet, it was kind of hard because I didn't know if I was going to be able to finish like my last month of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking for transitional housing, and because I was good, like, at speaking to people, and
mm-hmm.
they understood me. I was able to get a bid, like, in a month and a half
mm-hmm.
at in transitional housing. And then we have mandatory life skill classes that the Alliance for Children's Rights
mm-hmm.
would come to talk about getting a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's how I met the Alliance, which is a long way to get to how I met the Alliance.
Yeah.
But, I met them because Vinny, which is their mentor coordinator, he came and talked to us about how a mentor would show us how to get a job and
mm-hmm.
how to fill out resumes and, you know, and have someone to talk to when you need
right.
to, a support
mm-hmm.
system.
Where were you living at the time, though?
When I met them, I was
yes.
living, I don't know what's the name of transitional housing.
Well, it doesn't have the name, it doesn't have to be the name, but
oh,
it's
and transitional
what's
housing.
Yeah,
it's
what's
for
transitional
youth
housing?
Who are emancipated or 18 and over
mm-hmm.
who are coming from, the court is releasing their custody of you. So until this new law, AB 12, mm-hmm. at 18, they cut off funding, which means you are homeless. But they have these programs, such as transitional housing, that if there are bids available,
uh-huh.
which they actually pay for the bids, and they have like ways of trying to get you to work or, you know, pursue some kind of skill or trade.
Right.
And if you, like I said, if you can get a bid, you can stay in these I'm homeless until like 20 years old. So it's like a transition. That's why they call it transitioning to adult. Mm-hmm. But now with AB 12, these youth who turn 18, they don't even have to leave their foster home.
Right.
Or transition. Like they can just continue on with high school or go right into college. Or mm-hmm. they have a little more time before. They don't have to be homeless first.
It makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Like you need to feel like if you're in a nice home and a great home and you're happy and you're, you know, you finish college and you're, I mean, you finish high school and you get ready to go to college, like you still need that support of someone.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that just...
And that's what it's for. And then from 18 to 21, there's a huge maturity growth.
Oh, yeah,
growth.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these kids just, you know, first of all, they don't have the support to begin with and that mm-hmm. trust in themselves and the coping skills and, yep. and how to navigate it all. And they're just left onto their own devices.
Yeah.
And so AB 12 really right. makes a difference, will make a difference. It, mm-hmm. It started January 1st, 2012. We're very mm-hmm. proud of that.
Yeah.
And we were one of the co-sponsors of this bill.
You know, the biggest thing I want to say, like, that the Alliance does for us youth who are already given up on mm-hmm. being anything or doing anything is that we have low self-esteem. And even when meeting the Alliance, they were, like, talking about scholarship opportunities for me, housing opportunities, advocating because I needed my record still, too, mm-hmm. in order to get jobs. And even McDonald's, they do, like,
Background checks.
Right.
Right.
And they helped me sell my record. So I think that's how I actually became a client because they still, even though I was over 18, they helped me go downtown and sell my record and got me a mentor, helped me even now. Like I'll be graduating in May with my bachelor's degree.
Wow. Hey,
they still like review my, you know, they write my letters of recommendation. They review mm-hmm. my applications for grad school and like I don't miss too much not having, you know, auntie and mama and daddy yeah. to be there because I don't know how good they would have done.
Yeah. yeah. Now, had your mom been in touch with you during all these years?
I lost contact with her until I turned 18. Strangely enough, we all vowed to never talk to our mom, and we all, like, are drawn to her, like,
yeah.
very passionately. Hmm.
It's your mother, I mean, for
it's
crying out loud,
strange,
you know?
Though.
Yeah, you just, you know, you get angry when you're a kid and you rebel and all this stuff, but eventually... You come back to mom. I mean, there's no question about it.
And we don't care if our moms are crack kids. We don't care if our moms left us on a stoop. We still want them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
So
that's right.
I was gonna say, how does she feel where you are now?
I think she's proud, but she's in a lot of denial about mm-hmm. like, you know, where the credit comes from. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people I know at her church compliment her on how her kids have gone to college and are doing well.
Right.
And I know that feels good, but a lot of it, you know, I'm like
you shaking
didn't
my
do head.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you? But, you know, she's proud, but I think that she has some resentment because right. she expressed to me that, you know, I was bad, you know. So a lot of the reason why I went to juvenile hall, even though she never got me, was because I was stealing and I was doing things, you know.
Right.
Honestly, so.
But you had no one to literally be by your side and say, no, that's bad, or no, this. And plus, you weren't getting
and I don't know if I would have cared like, about being bad if I was hungry, you know?
Like,
you
you're hungry. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, I would have done the same shit.
Yeah.
The same thing. But I mean, like, it's survival skill,
right.
you know? And that also is irritating that you, like, got in trouble for that long because of that. I
yeah.
think that's just...
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? There's nobody to look after her and, you know, and to fight for her and all that
I
stuff.
I know. And, well, now there is.
And that's where the Alliance for Children's Rights comes in.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Jessica came in later, but... You know, we want to be there right at the beginning when kids right. are in need of a voice, and that's what we give.
Right.
That's so great.
So now, so you were in the transitional housing, and I'm trying to figure out where you moved next. Where did you go next?
Okay, so...
Was that the time when you became familiar with the Alliance?
Right.
Okay. So what happened? I mean, how did you find out about it?
So they came to us. They came to our workshops. We have, like, every Wednesday we would have, like, a life skills class where you learn to do a resume or file taxes or
oh, cool.
fill out a job application. Like, they always – and sometimes we have guest speakers,
mm-hmm.
sometimes motivational speakers. Sometimes they would teach us how to cook. But the Alliance was one of our guest speakers, and they just wanted to talk to us about getting a mentor. So they came to the transitional housing and presented about just the other services they offer as far as, like, selling your record or a lot of people, I know that social securities are used sometimes by the foster parents and stuff like that, and they needed to do, like, you know, a credit check and get just, like, so many different services that they offer. And then on top of that, I was really interested in the mentor probably, like, the third time after Vinny kept calling me.
Right.
And I just finally said yes to, okay, I'll take on a mentor because at that time in my life, it was very lonely. And I wasn't in school, and I wasn't pursuing school. And I think that right after I told him that I wanted a mentor, I found out I was pregnant, like, maybe a month later. So I'm like,
wow.
So I'm finally going to get someone to like me. Yeah. And I have to throw them, you know, now they're going to leave me because, once again, I've made another mistake.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a product of couch surfing. So don't couch surf if you get pregnant.
You know. Couches actually make you pregnant.
Well, you're a side effect of couch surfing.
Well, Jessica benefited from the Next Step program. And, you know, annually we serve over 1,000 youth. And with the knowledge and support need, and give them the knowledge and support needed to overcome barriers to college, housing, employment, healthcare, and to be matched with a mentor. And Jessica, you know, her beginnings were kind of dim, but you know, but Jessica, I would love for you to tell everybody where you're at today. And what you've
accomplished. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, and also
I'm just trying to find out, like,
the whole story.
Yeah, I like the whole story.
Oh, you do. You want to know when you pee? I'm kidding.
Not necessarily. No, but if we hadn't asked, we wouldn't know she had gotten pregnant.
Right,
which I think is a big deal, being where you were at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened then? I mean, so you were pregnant. Did you know where to turn? I mean, they were in your... So they came into your life at the time when you were pregnant?
So I had already had, like, my mentor's number in my pocket, and I knew... We had already had a dinner, because when they match you, you kind of meet over dinner and look at each other and, you know, feel each other out.
Yeah.
If you really don't like someone, then they'll rematch you.
Right.
Because they just, you know, they know that we don't like people.
Yeah. And,
so after that, I had her number. She would always harass me to, like, come hang out with her. And I don't know, I kind of didn't want her in my life. And I think now, like, because with more education, I've learned that I probably was rejecting her to protect myself.
Right.
But when I got to that point, because I knew I was going to have abortion, but I was still kind of ashamed that I had even gotten that far. But when I talked to her about it, she didn't see it as, like, devastation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, your life is over. Like, I have viewed it. And I decided to keep the baby. Like, she told me about, there was a nurse family partnership that's here in LA, and they come into your house and like make you crawl on the floor with them and look where the baby will look, and they teach you about the baby, and they make it so different, like, the experience. And once I felt like I can do it,
right,
and like she said, I could still probably go to school, and I could probably, like, and she just thought I was so smart and so different. And I had to believe I was unique, because I have all these horrible statistics that say less than 2% will go to college, and more than 60% won't graduate high school. So I'm kind of like, okay, so it has to be something special about me. So you need to start brainwashing me immediately that I'm different than this other 98% that's going to fail.
Right.
And she did that for me, and then a baby on top of that. So you can fail without the baby.
Right.
You know, coming out of the system. So.
Yeah. Now, how old were you when you got pregnant?
18.
Wow.
And probably that, like, my first day couch surfing. I probably got pregnant the first day.
Yeah.
Because I was cute back then. And I could stay over.
You're still cute.
You're still adorable.
Very cute. Wow. So you decided to keep the baby? To have the baby?
Yeah. And, like, the dad at the time, he wanted to keep the baby. I have no idea why. We were, like, the poorest people ever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So I'll fast forward to the ending. Is, like, so I have two kids now.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I'm actually married to the dad who I didn't even I was probably, honestly, too high to know if we were together or not at the time. And so to see that we were able to, like, work it out and get to know each other. So I'm lucky, but half of the luck is that I'm at the Alliance, and the other half of the luck is just luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you don't have luck early in your life, you'll probably have it later in life, you know, but we all get that sometimes.
Well, Jessica has a huge extended family in the Alliance for Children's Rights. She's a face, and she's always there for us. And we hope to, you know, to continue to be there for she and her family.
Right.
And we're very proud of her. And,
I would imagine. I mean, we're hearing some great things about, I think, you being independent and strong-willed and so forth. You know, I mean, you did pretty much what you believed in. So you had the first baby, and the father was around?
Yeah, well, we weren't together, really, but he knew about everything. I was a single mom probably for... like a year and a half. I ended up having to move out of my transitional housing because that's against the rules to get pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I had to move to another one I found in San Pedro for moms and babies who want to go to school.
Oh.
And that sounded like me. So I went there. It's called Harbor Interfaith Services. It's amazing. Because they even give free child care. And they're like kind of like the Alliances where they, you know, they don't have any like government funding. It's a great transitional housing program.
Yeah, it sounds good.
And,
so at what point did you have the second baby? How many years after that?
So they're 2 years apart. So this is okay. You guys are not going to believe this, but I took a vow of celibacy on New Year's, which is not on New Year's. And then like five months later, I found out like that I was pregnant with Jonah. So super random. So I guess they're supposed to be here because I never. You know, growing up, I knew that I had internalized that I was a bad person and evil and possibly demon possessed. Wow. I had like a kind of very strange upbringing. And to be so screwed up, I didn't want to bring anyone into the existence I was in. Very depressed. I remember being suicidal and stuff like that. So I never wanted kids.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be like the most unfair thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. So get spiritual on you guys right now and say like, they're supposed to probably be here.
Yeah.
They're super random kids.
And they're the cutest and unplanned. Nicest kids.
Yeah. Aww. But that's, but they are your kids. You love them, and that's what matters, you know.
How old are they now?
Noah's 4 and Jonah's 2. Jonah's having picture day as we speak right now.
Really?
He brushed his teeth 12 times before me. 2-year-old.
Yeah. So now, Marlene, when you found her at that place where you made the presentation and everything, right?
Right. And that was through our Next Step program. Vinny Diaverso, he's our mentor director. Right. He goes around to, you know, transitional housings. And we're a resource, too. It's just not what the Alliance does, is we connect people like Jessica to other resources out there.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure that they know where to go to get the help that they need.
Right.
And that's where, and Jessica was asking the right questions. She spoke up for herself and she wanted to do better, didn't know how that was going to happen, but she's great. And I do have to also mention that through the Next Step program, I mean, we help cut the, you know, break through the barriers for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
But Jessica, we also had a documentary project. So Jessica could also call herself a documentarian because she wrote, directed, and produced her own documentary, which was that she was able to tell her story.
Yeah.
And and that was probably maybe the first time you were able to tell somebody that story.
That was my turning point.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the resources, but right at 18, so this is like probably during my whole pregnancy with Noah, I remember, like, they taught us, they said that USC donated a room to
us. They donated their editing room and was able to help us. And then we were also, cameras were donated to us. And they were able, and through Laura Hunt and Derek, they were part of the Next Step program. And they took this on themselves. These were two staff members at the Alliance and took this on their own time, helped the youth from the Next Step program through the Youth Council, to, you know, produce these documentaries. I mean, they didn't do it for them. The Youth Council had to do it themselves. There was like 12 of them produced. Just wonderful, wonderful stories, all very different.
Right.
You know? Where can you see them? Where can you find
them?
Well,
you know, I don't think they're on the website, but we should get them.
Why don't you submit them to Sundance? You know, I'm serious. They look for interesting stories like this in the documentary division, and especially being where you guys came from, what you went through, and it's about you. I think you guys have a really good shot at A, getting your stories out there, but B, getting the Alliance out there
we
and
are gonna
possibly
utilize them.
Winning. Like, well, I really think that would be huge.
Well, the great things, how these documentaries are used is Jessica and the Youth Council, who have produced and wrote and directed these pieces. They go to colleges, they go to law firms, they go to social services agencies and social work universities, and they talk, they screen these documentaries,
cool.
and they tell their stories and answer questions to educate people about the foster care system and the kids and the youth that are involved in it. And so we're very, very proud of them. And the Next Step program at the Alliance for Children's Rights is one of the reasons I got involved with the Alliance many years ago.
So now, did you find housing for Jessica at the time?
Well, we were the resource. We might have. I'm not sure exactly how Jessica found it, but I'm sure Vinny was one of he talked about the resources out there. We have, and then when you call into the Alliance for Children's Rights, if it's not a case that we could take care of, we will direct you to the proper resource.
Right.
And we just don't let you go, sorry, we can't help you. We hang up the phone. We make sure that you're directed to the proper organization.
Right. So where were you living at that time when you were pregnant after you left the transitional housing and everything? Where did you go to live?
Another transitional
housing. No, she was saying the one in San Pedro.
So this one was for moms and babies. So they have different ones.
Right. And after that, where did you go after that?
After that, where did I go? I stayed there until I finished school, which is I graduated from El Camino College in 2010. Uh-huh. And I got accepted in the CSUN, Cal State Northridge.
Nice.
And I moved to the dorms. I live in the family housing now on campus.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's cool. That
so you still go to school to CSUN and everything?
Yeah, and I live
there. Wow.
And she was on the honor roll. She was on the dean's list.
Wow.
Wow.
And what are you doing today, Jessica?
Oh, my goodness. Too many things. I'm ambassador right now for LA County on the State Youth Council for child welfare. So kind of like bring back feedback from foster youth or do surveys or cool stuff like that.
Yeah. See, that's how life works. You know, you go through an experience and then that experience helps you help other kids or other people. You know, and you're obviously well qualified. You've been through the system. You know what's going on. And
I think you're amazing.
I'm professional.
Yeah. She's taking her graduation picture today. She's graduating.
Yay! Really?
With a Bachelor's of Arts in what?
Psychology.
Wow.
And I've been accepted into my master's program for social work at CSUN, too.
That's
amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Just so you see, I mean, there's a success story. You know, I mean, someone that went through adverse childhood, uncomfortable situations, unfortunate, and you managed to break out of all this, you know, and still manage somehow. You know, I don't know what I would have done, you know, but I think you find all that strength when you sort of like thrust out there on your own.
Yeah, you know, my number one, this is a lady asked me yesterday who wants to be a foster parent. She was like, what do you think? Is it a good idea? And I was telling her, like, above anything, what I needed was someone to believe in me and to not give up, whether I got pregnant 5 times, whether I, you know, that consistent caregiver, or that relationship that is for life, you know, like, and it's a lot of the free things that the Alliance is able to be an agent to, like, the mentors come and dedicate their time for free, these attorneys and these people who, the reason why I'm so successful is because I've met people who, a lot of times you hear who you know.
Right, yeah.
And I happen to know some of the most amazing people. Like, I got to meet the department chair for the Master Social Work Program. You know, like, and they just wanted me. So it's like, I never would have had a voice. I never would have been able to have any agency of my own until people made me important. I became special, but it took, and for us, it's harder. It's harder to be, we're invisible for a lot of the time. But if we can find people to stick to it with us and to keep believing in our dreams, even when we don't believe it. I know it's a lot of, turnaround. It's a lot of disappointment with working with this population because, like, they don't want the help.
Yeah.
You offer me you tell me the car is around the corner, it's free and paid for. I'm not going to go. And if I do go, I'm just going to crash it immediately into the wall. So it's like, you know, a lot of times it's like, is this a bad investment? Are these kids worth it? But after so much failure, it's almost a norm. And, and we're kind of comfortable and not being successful.
Yeah.
Because they're not supposed to. Like, some people are born here. Some people are born there, and this is who we are.
Right.
And we need someone to come in and to just rip that away.
Yeah, you know? And you like refuse to accept it, and that's what the Alliance does.
That's what the Alliance for Children's Rights does. We believe in these kids. We believe in them before they believe in themselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And then
that's amazing. So it's a success story.
They give us the confidence because we see, you know, what the effect is. And it's amazing because what we see is when the kids that we work with they rely on us to be the voice. You know, they're so much like our own kids, and they are exactly like our kids. And people like Jessica and so many of the kids that I've been in contact with, you know what's great is that I see them giving back, and they appreciate it. And it's every day I'm touched. So I'm grateful for being a part of the Alliance for Children's Rights, too. And I get to meet people like Jessica. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, well, the last few minutes, I want to concentrate on how people can join you and find you and all that stuff. Chris, did you want to put in a few words before you leave? Okay, Jessica, do you mind if you just take the seat for a couple minutes? We'll talk about the marathon maybe. Go ahead. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So how are you involved with the organization?
I am the development assistant for
Try to get close to the mic, Chris.
You hear me?
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Say it again.
I'm the development assistant for the Alliance for Children's Rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I help with, you know, running all these charity events and putting things together and making it a successful event.
Amazing. So what are the events that are coming up? We heard about the marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you're still raising money on that, right?
Yeah.
Right now we currently have 34,000 and our goal is 100,000.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Still, I mean, that's a lot of money, you know, mm-hmm. and to be able to help and stuff. So the marathon takes place when?
It is not this weekend, but next weekend, the 17th and 18th.
17th and 18th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're still looking for runners for the 5K and the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to www.kids-alliance.org mm-hmm. to learn more about the LA Marathon.
Okay.
And you can see it'll take you to the registration page. It'll tell you we have incentives for raising money, and it's a great motivator to be able to raise money and help you cross the finish line. It's just not about you. It's about helping these kids and youth have a better chance at life, so they can thrive through health care, through equitable education, and the support they need.
Right. No, I mean, obviously, you know, you have a success story here with Jessica, and I believe you've got a lot of success stories as well.
Yeah, and she's actually running as well.
Really?
Yes,
yeah.
Jessica.
Be running, Jessica?
Yeah, her goal is to raise $1,000.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that should work. That should work. Mm-hmm.
And what is your, it's in through Crowdwise.
Crowdwise. Yeah.
And Jessica, what's your team called? You're running with your sister.
The Chandler
right?
sisters.
The Chandler sisters.
She got her
sisters
to run with her.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
Go to crowdwise.com. Is it .org?
.com.
Yep.
And look for the Alliance team for the Chandler sisters.
Yeah, and we'll put the links on our website as well,
I'm
so people can find them.
Too.
And right now we have 65 runners and 20 marathon runners. And as well, we have 12 of our youth that we serve are actually running with us.
Amazing.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And when did you join the organization?
I joined 4 months ago.
4 months ago, so you're pretty new.
Yes.
And what made you want to join this?
Well, I went to Cal State Long Beach, and actually through joining my fraternity, Phi Kappa Tau, we were connected with the Paul Newman Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and which Paul Newman Foundation is also one of our supporters of the Alliance for Children's Rights.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a touch, you know.
Yeah. So, but what made you want to join this? I mean, how did you find out about it?
About the
Child Alliance for Children's Rights.
I just got a hold of my friend who connected me to all the LA charity events, job listings. You know, I lived in San Diego for a little bit, and you know, I was like, I think it's time to move back to LA and make a difference.
Yeah. Awesome. So you do this full time now?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He's a development assistant. He's an assistant and more. His enthusiasm is very contagious.
He's amazing.
Yes,
and then
he
I met
amazing.
Yeah. And then I met him, and that's how I found out about all this.
I see.
So,
okay.
It's all about networking.
Yeah.
That's true, huh? And then I seen June, you have the Right to Laugh third annual.
Right. It's the third annual, the Right to Laugh charity event, and it's an evening of comedy. It's our third year. This year we are we're saluting the Second City and their their influence on Hollywood.
Right.
our first in the past we've had Bill Maher, Jimmy Kimmel, Drew Carey, Sarah Silverman. It's a headline entertainment.
Wow.
Event.
Sign me
we're
up.
Raising. Yeah, you're invited for sure.
Yeah.
And I'll be on for that, I hope.
Yeah.
I'll invite myself on to talk to you about that. But yeah, it's the Second City. We have a great committee, and it's just so much fun. This year, we've hosted it at the Catalina Jazz Club, but we've grown out of it, and we're at the Avalon.
Wow.
And it's going to be really great. We're going to have a silent auction. We have sponsorships available, and if you go to kids-alliance.org, you can go to the Right to Laugh event page, and if you'd like to sponsor a table, we're selling tables right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fantastic. Headline entertainment, lots of fun.
Yeah.
When is the event?
It's June 12th.
June 12th, okay.
At the Avalon.
Awesome. Right.
Sounds cool. Good.
I'll see what I can help out with.
Yeah, Chris will let you know by then.
I know.
But I just want to mention, through the LA Marathon, our sponsors, Dixie Shapiro and also DrRebecca.com.
Sounds good.
Yeah, they're highly supporting us through this race.
Right, and Dixie Shapiro is also one of our many pro bono law firms. And it's amazing how many hours it takes to, you know, we've... there's 33,000 hours of pro bono work that we that we receive, and it's a tune of $7 million.
That's amazing. Wow. So, yeah, so some lawyers are good.
And the lawyers we work with, the pro bono
some
office.
Lawyers.
Yes, fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
Right, our lawyers are great.
But we got 11 more days to do it.
Awesome.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys go out and do it and check out the website, the Alliance for Children's Rights. It's at kids-alliance.org. And everybody, if you have, I would imagine the biggest thing that happens out of this show is that somebody knows a kid in the foster system or that needs to be.
Yeah, that needs help.
Yeah, there is
out
help out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
There sure is.
Yeah. Marlene, thank you so much for joining us. Chris and Jessica.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you so much for being here. Everybody, check it out. And all the best to you guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
Regina will tell us all about the race afterwards.
Sam, there's still time to
sign up
here.
You can do the walk.
I'm walking, running.
Yeah, maybe walking is a good idea.
That'll be great. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.